2. Ooh, AMA part 2. Ooh, not even halfway through. Ooh, of this interview. Ooh, AMA part 2.
All right, welcome to the second part of my AMA. This next user has a very special place in my heart.
It's a salty broomstud.
Crimson King, King Broomstud, Crimson King, King Broomstud, Crimson King, King Broomstud.
It's a salty broomstud.
Crimson King, King Broomstud, Crimson King, King Broomstud, Crimson King.
Yeah, I said it. What are you gonna do about it?
It's a salty broomstud.
Crimson King, King Broomstud, Crimson King, King Broomstud, Crimson King.
Yeah, you're jelly because I have the best life move.
It's a salty broomstud.
Okay, for context, I didn't write that song. I didn't write the instrumental. One thing I should probably have noted, any like instrumental stuff that you hear in the background, I like wrote and performed. So, it's not like stuff that I got from the internet, except for certain ones. And, those are for very good reasons, like Brinstead's, where he did a cover of that song where he just shouted my name the whole time. So I decided to do one about him. Except also about how I have the best waifu. So Brinstead wants to know, number 48, who is one of your favorite musicians vocally? Well, at the end of part one, we did like a 10-minute rant about Mai Sakamoto, so I won't talk about her again. Sarah Bareilles is one of my favorites. I'm a huge fan of hers. I really like her voice. I really like her music. She's really cool. She did acapella stuff, so like that's awesome. So definitely Sarah Bareilles. Number 49, what started you on GWA? Story time. Okay, I think it was just like a lot of, like, every time I tell this story it comes out different, and I really think it's just because there's not like one reason. It was a lot of little things that just kind of happened in sequence and added up, and I ended up here somehow. So I actually discovered GWA like 2 summers ago, and I didn't really ever think I was gonna get into it. I was like, oh, this is a cool thing, people post audio porn. Because before that I had actually heard audio porn before, on Literotica, and I was like a really big fan of those. But I found GWA and I was like, wow, this is awesome. And then I didn't really... Oh, and then I started NoFap. And that was a interesting phase of my life. I think I lasted like 6 months or something. And then I was like, wait a second, I like masturbating. But I started last October. And some of it was I was kind of going through withdrawal. Because I graduated like a couple years ago, and I'm not part of an acapella group anymore, so I didn't really have like anything creative to do with my life. And on top of that, I like my two best friends, who I spent like all of my like almost like every waking second with, like during school, kind of like got their own lives. One of them got married. One of them like moved back into close proximity with his girlfriend for the first time in like 6 or 7 years. And that kind of just left me with a lot of time on my hands that I like didn't really know what to do with. So when I looked at Backstage and saw, I think Miss made a post about TeamSpeak, I was like, oh, maybe I could make friends here, because I'm like kind of lonely now. Like at the same time, like I just gotten out of like a year and a half long relationship, and I was like, I went from like living with somebody to like not living with my significant other, and then at the same time, I was a really big fan of Undertale and also Fire Emblem, and both subreddits were doing things where they were taking people's auditions to voice cast their games, and I was like, whoa, that sounds really cool, maybe I could do that. And then I like looked at the people who like auditioned, and I was like, oh fuck, I can't do this. Like, and then I because it was like way too late, and it was like a whole voting system, it was whatever. But for those who were curious, it was Fire Emblem 8 Sacred Stones. I don't even know who I would have voiced in Sacred Stones. But maybe one day I'll do a Fire Emblem audio as sort of like a tribute to that. I'll think about it. I was like, wait a second, there was this thing, the Gone Wild audio thing, maybe I could do that. And I came here and I started to listen to people and like really think about it, and I was like, yeah, I could probably do this. Like, I masturbate. Okay. So that's sort of how I got started on GWA. Yeah. Number 50. Ding, 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 ding. Your question number 50. Yay, Brunstud. Who do you main in Overwatch? I mostly play tanks. My favorite two to play are Reinhardt and Roadhog. For supports, which I play secondarily, I play Mercy and Lucio. For on the case where I am offense, I will default to Pharah or Soldier. I have like almost a Reaper, but not really. I'm like, I can't play Genji. Like, I can't play McCree. I can't play Tracer because like you have to aim to be able to play those guys, and I can't do that. And I don't end up playing a lot of defense characters. I definitely will never ever play snipers, but in the case where I do end up playing a defense character, I play Bastion. I'm sorry. Number 51. When are you going to visit me? First weekend of October. Brunstead and I are going to Comic-Con, baby. Woohoo! Number 52. And most importantly, why is Saber so awesome? Oh, what a good question. I'm so glad I read that question out word for word exactly the way you posted it. I already kind of went over this. She's like, she's got a cute side and a serious side. She's idealistic to a fault, so she's got like interesting flaws. I really like King Arthur, so yeah, Saber's the best. I'm glad you agree with me. All right. Oh, geez. Next, sorry, lots of inside jokes here. Number 12, or user number 12.
Capital letters in cancer 2. Carcass got a message for you. Is my homestuck joke satisfactory? Fruity Rumpus Asshole Factory.
Fruity Rumpus Factory wants to know. All right, So their username isn't actually Fruity Rumpus Asshole Factory. It's a reference to a webcomic. And I originally wanted to use a theme from the webcomic for their song, but it was like really long. So I just did like a version, like some random song that I was inspired by Karkit's theme. Anyways, number 53. Favorite anime. Describe your favorite scene in it and why you like it. Contrary to popular belief, my favorite anime is not Fate Stay Night in any form, nor is it Gurren Lagann. It's actually Razafan. Again, we're going back to Maya Sakamoto. This is like Maya Sakamoto, the questionnaire. But Razafan is probably like my hands-down favorite anime. It's a gorgeous, it's like a sci-fi romance. So it's like, on the surface, it's about giant robots that are fighting, but really like the driving force between the story is the love story between the characters, and their sci-fi elements involved in the love story, like time, separation. It's really, really cool stuff. And my favorite scene from it is, there's a character in the show who sort of like appears to the main character, a lot. And she's like this mysterious girl. And, what you find out about her is that spoilers? Do people care? I don't know. There's a scene with a painting and like you find out like some true stuff, like some stuff about like her identity, and it's like this big reveal, and there's some really cool like philosophical stuff behind it, and I really, really enjoy that. So yeah. Number 54. The best sandwich you've ever eaten. 3 off the top of my head. I think in this order, number 3 would be Al Capone's pastrami sub from in like the middle of the financial district of Boston. It's disgusting. It's oily and greasy, but it tastes so good, and it feels so bad, but it tastes so good. Oh, it's gross. It's not a really great sandwich. It's just like one of my favorites. Number 2, Wawa. I am a Pennsylvania native, and Wawa will always own a special place in my heart. And my favorite sandwich from Wawa as a kid was like their hot beef sandwich. And it was like these big chunks of like really soft beef. And it was like in this gravy. They don't have it anymore. So this isn't actually a sandwich that you can go find, but I used to love that sandwich. I would get like cheese and like, lettuce and tomato. And, it was so good. Like every week I would get one of those, like a 10-inch hoagie. For people who don't know, hoagie is the Philadelphian word for sub sandwich. And probably the best sandwich I've ever eaten is I had like a I forget what that, like a sopressata on focaccia bread from this place in Boston called Casa Razdora. It's like this super legit Italian sandwich shop, and like this thing, it's got like olive oil like in it, like it soaks into the bread, and it's got like these Italian deli meats on it. Oh, it's so good. I've only had it like once or twice, but I will definitely at some point go back for it. Number 55, video game that you've sunk the most time into. This one was a little bit tricky for me because a lot of games don't have, some games that I play like don't have very accurate ways for me to keep track of how long I've played them. If I had to pick one, I'd probably say Super Smash Brothers Melee. That game is super special to me. It's like the huge bonding point for like my like closest friends in college. It's like how we really started to have a ton of fun together. It was a big part of like the club that I was part of in college. Yeah, it was just I love to watch it. Yeah, other stuff that do have counters. Pokemon Black and White 2 had an amazing end game. So between Black and White 2 and Pokemon XY, I've probably got like 400 hours total. Because I got really into breeding and stuff. Bravely Default, really good RPG for the 3DS. Spent like hundreds of hours on that. Fire Emblem, probably Fire Emblem Awakening is the one I've played the most. I've got like 200 something hours on that one. And then the last one, this is a little bit embarrassing for me. It's Puzzle and Dragons for the mobile phone. And the reason I've played it so much isn't because it's a particularly good game, but because it was barely like interesting enough to like hold my attention, and I used to play it for like an hour a day just like on my commute on the subway, and I've been playing it for so long that I have like a bunch of like really strong characters in the game, and I'm like, oh, like it's just kind of like a habit for me now, like whenever like I don't know what to do with myself, I just like boot it up, and I'm just like, it's kind of like if you combined Bejeweled and like Pokemon. So number 56, what would Avalon from 10 years ago think if he got a hold of some of your audios? I love this question. Me from 10 years ago would be 2006 me. Probably, like, he'd probably be like, he'd probably be like, whoa, so you, like, have a job now, and you, like, make enough money that you can buy like your own skirts to do like actual cross-dressing, because as like cross-dressing has been a thing that I've been like mentally into for like a really long time, but I didn't really have like the means or privacy to like buy women's clothing and wear it up until recently. So when I was a kid 10 years ago, Avalon would either like he would like get like a bathrobe and like wear that and like sort of think about it, or what the other thing I used to do is I would get blankets and I would like fold them into like quarters and I would wrap them around my waist and kind of like pretend that it was a skirt. So it was this insanely silly thing that I used to do. So he'd probably be extremely relieved that I can just like buy skirts and like wear them in privacy. I don't know. Number 57, favorite song to sing in the shower. Let's see if I know. I can't look up the words. It's cheating because this is my shower song. Angels say I'd smile today. Oh well, who needs angels anyway? Hey, it's the Come Round Soon by Sarah Bareilles. That's like my go-to shower song, because it's the way she does it, like in the acoustic version on like the album, is super cool, and I always like wish I could do it, and I like can't really. So yeah, there's a small taste of my shower singing. Number 58. I saw that you said that you're a Philly native in one of the comments you made. Also, I mentioned it just now, huh? How about that? So, what are your favorite places in Philly and Boston? I ask because I'm in both cities a lot and want to explore cool places. Thought a native might help. Unfortunately, I don't know a lot of cool places in Philadelphia. I'm actually from slightly outside the city. I've already mentioned that Wawa, like the convenience store, is a personal favorite of mine. But if you're in Pennsylvania and you're anywhere west of Philadelphia, over in Lancaster, in like Amish country, there's this place called Shady Maple. And a lot of people know like buffets, right? Where it's like all you can eat, like buffet style. This place is a buffet, but it's the way they call themselves is they're an Amish smorgasbord. And you know, when some place calls itself a smorgasbord, that it's going to be good. This is like a huge building in Amish country. It's this Amish buffet. And if you go there for breakfast, it's freaking amazing. They have huge like tables full of eggs, sausage, like five different ways of sausage, like eight different kinds of eggs, potatoes, like a million different ways. Oh, it's breakfast paradise. So Shady Maple. And the other one in Philadelphia is, if you're in Chinatown, Joyce and Lau is the dim sum place. It's a pretty famous dim sum place, I think. And a fun fact about it is loosely in Chinese, it translates in English to drunken fairy house, so I'm told. So check out the drunken fairy house for some dim sum if you're ever in Philadelphia. In Boston, probably my favorite places are in Chinatown. There's this place called Great Taste Bakery. And they have, like, little cakes and pastries and stuff. But you know a Chinese place in Chinatown is legit when their name is spelled wrong. You know that they're legit. Because if you walk into this place and you look at the aprons that these people are wearing, like, these women baking these pastries, it actually says Geert Taste Bakery. Like, G-E-A-R-T. Geert Taste Bakery on the aprons, and that's how you know they're legit. Sesame balls, meat pies, right? Like curry chicken meat pies, barbecue pork meat pies, flaky crust, delicious center, so good. Next, two all-you-can-eat sushi places in Boston, Yamato and Taksan. Yamato is great if you're on a budget. You can get lunch for probably like $16 or $17, all-you-can-eat sushi. Taksan is a little bit higher in price, but they have a buffet on top of the all-you-can-eat ordering menu, which is awesome because you order a bunch of food, and then while they're bringing you and preparing you the food, you go to a mini buffet, and then you eat more food while waiting for your food. So a little bit pricier, but you have a few more options. It's a little bit slightly more. It's not outrageously expensive, like probably like 20 something for like a lunch of like all you can eat sushi. Pretty good. Outside of food, probably two cool places are New England Comics. They have a whole bunch of places. I got another one in Brookline. And then Replayed is a used electronics store in Austin, and they have all sorts of cool, like, old games and stuff, like Super Nintendo games, NES games, Sega Genesis games. If you're into that, it's probably the place to go in Boston. Yeah. Great questions. Next user.
Reading our scripts was a lot of fun, oh. Could set to call scripter Ghost of Mono.
Okay, Ghost of Mono wants to know, do forgive me if you've covered this before, but having seen you were thinking of going to a con, have you ever cosplayed? If so, which characters? Okay, my first ever con was Senkai Con. I forget which year it was. It was way back when I was in high school, so at least like 5 or 6 years ago. I don't know. But I just kind of like dressed as a generic Pokemon trainer. I like carried a bag and like I wore a hat. It was pretty lame. My second con was Otakon, and it was the year that somebody pulled the fire alarm, and so we just flooded Baltimore with cosplayers, and that was awesome. And for that, a bunch of my friends and I went as not the cast of Yu-Gi-Oh!, but the cast of Yu-Gi-Oh! The Abridged Series, and I was Tristan for that. After that, I started to attend Anime Boston regularly. And for those, the first year I went, I got a big Domo suit, and that was freaking awesome. Cause it was like being what I imagine like being Santa Claus is like, cause you walk down a hall and you're like a giant, like blue furry rectangle and just everybody wants to hug you. I was like, man, like I've never like been like had this many people want to hug me before. It felt really good. Yeah. The next year I went, I was in a relationship for that year. So, the girl was really into Sailor Moon. So she went as, Princess Serenity. So, which is like the final form of Sailor Moon. And I was Tuxedo Mask. And then the year after that, I went with mostly alone, I think. But I hung out with some people that I knew. But I did like a crossplay of Black Rock Shooter. So I got black shorts, and I made like the Black Rock Shooter cannon out of like a plastic filing box and like a mailing tube. That was a lot of fun. It looked really bad, but like you could kind of tell. And then I put on my glasses, and which I wear sometimes. Usually I wear them now, but yeah. Spoilers: I have glasses, but I also have contacts. So yeah, imagine me however you want, I guess. But I taped I cut out like see-through folders that were like blue and clear, and I made like the flaming blue star, and then I taped it to my glasses, so I had like a blue like flaming star coming out of my eye. So that was just like a fun thing. Yeah. Next question, number 60. You've suddenly been dropped into a magical girl anime, and you're the main hero. What's your transformation item? What forces of evil are you combating? Where do you draw your sparkly powers from? I draw my sparkly powers from an action figure of Saber, and then I transform into the male version of Saber, which totally exists, by the way, and then I smite all the forces of evil that trash-talk my waifu, like Brunstead. And my sparkly powers come from probably, honestly, not having very good taste. Question number 61. If you could pick any one of your senses to make superhuman, which would you choose and what would you do with it? I would pick my hearing to have like super mega perfect pitch so I could like identify jazz chords, and also so I could like reproduce sounds that I hear. Like if I could like hear something and like reproduce it perfectly, that'd be so cool. And also I could use it for audios. Speaking of which, number 62. What aspect of your audios would you most like to develop further as you keep recording? I don't know if there's like one specific thing that I want to work on. I think that my big thing is I don't want to get complacent. Like I don't want to get comfortable recording audios ever. Which sounds like a pretty terrible thing, but I really mean it. Like I think if I ever get comfortable, and like if I ever feel comfortable and safe about posting, I'm gonna get boring, and I don't want to be boring. I always want to try to be doing something new, or taking something that I've already done and trying to do it better. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it. Yeah. So next up,
which breakfast meat is truly the best out of eggs and sausage and all of the rest? The legendary truth, there's no mistaking. The most delicious is the myth of bacon.
Myth of Bacon wants to know, have any video games or books or movies, etc., if you prefer, had a profound effect on the way you view the world? So I thought really hard about video games that might have affected how I view the world, and I didn't really think of anything huge. There are things that I really like, and I really like the things they have to say, but nothing like really changed my worldview or like how I act. So I'm gonna go with a book on this one, and hear me out, okay? Because this whole thing, it gets a lot of flack, for good reason, by the way. But when I like started to understand what Ayn Rand was trying to say in like The Fountainhead. Okay, listen, a lot of things, her objectivism is an extremely flawed worldview, okay? I generally disagree with like her total her total uncompromising sort of worldview. It like, there's no, I don't care. Like, if you say the world's not ready for it, or like it's not ready for the world, it's not compatible with like how the world works right now. But I think a lot of things she has to say in her books are like really good things that I've learned a lot from. Honestly, like sort of the also I've read Atlas Shrugged. I've sat down and read it. Like, I enjoyed it as a story. I don't participate in like the philosophy itself, but sort of that attitude of like be somebody who contributes to society and don't be somebody who just takes from society, right? Like, the idea of not letting other people define who you are, I think, is good. Like Roark in The Fountainhead, like he doesn't let anybody tell him what he is. He's like, there's a really funny YouTube video where it's like The Fountainhead in 5 seconds, and it's literally going like some guy going, "You are not an architect," and then it flashes to Howard Roark, and he's like, "I am an architect," and like that's it. And that's like a pretty good summary of The Fountainhead, I guess. Like it doesn't matter what society tells him he is. Like, he knows like what he's worth, and he's willing to use that in his life. And a lot of the time he does do it in ways that I wouldn't recommend anybody ever do, but I think the general sentiment behind it is good. And probably my favorite thing about The Fountainhead and about Ayn Rand, I know saying I like things about Ayn Rand is awful, but like these little, it's you take the lessons that you can use, right? And my favorite one is when Ellsworth Toohey, who is basically the villain, if there is one, of The Fountainhead, the singular one, where he goes up to Howard Roark, who's the hero, and like the embodiment of her philosophy, and he asks Roark, he's like, "Roark, what do you think of me?" And Roark is just like, "I don't think of you." And that was when I realized like what that meant. I was like, that's a really great way to think about people that are like supposed to be your enemies. Because my dad told me a long time ago, he was like, if somebody treats you really poorly, that doesn't mean they hate you. It doesn't mean specifically that they hate you. If somebody really, really hates you, they want nothing to do with you and they won't talk to you. And I didn't really understand that when he told me that, but like, it's sort of that attitude where it's like, you're somebody who like, if you have somebody who like antagonizes you, or like is your like quote unquote nemesis or like enemy, I guess, the best way to like win over them is to just not like acknowledge them, I guess, right? Like, it's kind of like why I don't like, I've never been the kind of person to be like, to note that like I get downvotes on my audios, because I don't like to acknowledge that, right? Like, what's the point? I don't gain anything from like complaining or like drawing attention to it. Like, that's letting them win. So I think my favorite part about The Fountainhead is that moment where Roark is like, "I don't think of you," and that's sort of like his ultimate triumph over like over Toohey. Yeah, okay, I've talked about Ayn Rand enough. Next user.
If you try to feed her, you might make a mess. It happens with the come hungry princess.
Okay, Come Hungry Princess has some pretty interesting questions. Number one from her, which is actually number 64 total. Your pants are enchanted by a sorceress and cannot be removed. As a result, you cannot come. You must go on a quest to save your orgasms. You form a fellowship of the O. Who is on your team and why? So I had to think about this one a lot. I'm assuming I get fictional characters for this. And I'm assuming I need 8 people, because the Fellowship of the Ring was 8 people. So myself, because I am the one who we are trying to save the O's of, and I picked the 7 fictional characters from like anime and games that I think I've spent the most time masturbating to. And they are Saber from Fate Stay Night, and this is in no particular order. Saber from Fate Stay Night, Tifa from Final Fantasy VII, Asuka from Evangelion, Sailor Mars from the Sailor Moon series, Senna from Haganai, Kuroneko from Oriemo, and Sophidia from the Soul Calibur series. Take that for what you will. I don't really know what it means. Number 65. Why is cake the best dessert ever? Probably because it's fluffy. It's kind of like a fluffy texture to it that I don't think a lot of other desserts can really imitate that well. I'm not a cake guy. But I do like pie, and I will talk about that later. But for now, number 66. Hey, who let you in here? If you look at my verification, Quack Duck is the one who let me in here. And also, Miss is the one who let me in here, if you're talking about TeamSpeak. I think Miss was the first person who I ever talked to on TeamSpeak, probably because she's a mod there and she came up to add a member tag. But, like, I still remember, like, it was, like, my second day on, or it might have been my first day on GWA, and, like, I had already found her audios, and I was like, oh, my God, it's, like, I felt like somebody famous was coming to talk to me. I got really, like, excited about it. But, yeah, Miss is also great. Number 67. Fill in the blank. My blank tastes like blank. My water tastes like coconuts. Because I'm drinking coconut water. Yes. Gosh, that was silly. Number 68. Sound your penis once or get a Prince Albert for the rest of your life. I had to look up getting a Prince Albert. I think I just suffered the pain of getting sounded. But, like, ow. For both. I think just, like, the fact that I'd have to have it for the rest of my life is kind of what turns me off from getting the Prince Albert. So I think I'd sound my penis once and just get it over with and live the rest of my life in relief. That I don't have to get piercings through my, Okay, number 69. Oh, yeah. You are forced to lick frosting off of the most famous GWA star. What flavor frosting is it? Now, my favorite part about this question is that I don't have to acknowledge who the most famous GWA star is, because that's a tough question. But I'm usually not a frosting person at all, but I can always get down with some cheesecake frosting. That shit is delicious. I will lick that up. Guy, girl, whatever. It doesn't matter who the most famous GWA star is. As long as they've got cheesecake frosting, I got it. Okay. Next user.
Even though she's just one person still, she's sometimes Chloe and sometimes Phil.
All right. Clophil, also known as Chloe. Wants to know, what was your major in college? I studied econ as my major, and I minored in computer science. I don't think econ was a very useful major at all. It looks great on paper. It sounds great, but, I don't work in policy or anything. I work in finance. So, like, econ in the long run, not really useful to me. The comp sci minor, hugely useful, but I'm trying to study a little bit of finance. So I'm actually entering a master's in finance program in like 2 weeks, actually. So we'll see how that goes with my recording schedule. Huh. Next question. Number 71. Do you have a spirit animal? If so, what is it? You've probably guessed already. It's a penguin. Penguins are awkward and clumsy, and that's what I'm like. Also, they can't fly, and I always thought it was, like, sadly romantic. Not romantic in, like, the lovey-dovey way, but, like, in, like, the other way. I don't really know how to describe it, but, like, that they're, like, flightless birds. It's, like, kind of sad, but it's, like, they find other ways to fly. That's so fucking cheesy. Oh, my God, I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. It's, like, they find other ways to fly. Like, instead of flying through the air, they, like, fly through the water because they, like, swim really well. So, yeah, they're super different. So, yeah, penguins are my spirit animal. Number 72. What is your favorite holiday? Definitely Thanksgiving. I love to eat. I love to, like, hang out with, like, people. I always, like, spend the holiday. I try to spend the holiday with, like family friends of mine, like, back home. This last year, I didn't go home for Thanksgiving. I spent it with my two friends who are married, and that was awesome. Was that? Oh, wow. I did GWA back then. Yeah, that was great because I was like having a conversation with like my friend and his wife, and like and they know me. They've known me for a very long time. I was like effectively, I think I was like postmaritally declared their best man. So super, super good friends of mine. And I was like going home, and my friend, I was like, it was like him and like his wife was there also. He was just like, so what do you think you're going to do when you go home? And I was like, I don't know, probably I'm going to go home and like record myself masturbate. And the wife like laughed it off, cause like that's something I would probably say like as a joke. And he like laughed because he knows I do GWA, and like he knew that I just like wasn't kidding. I was like seriously going to go home and record myself masturbating. And then I went home and recorded myself masturbating. It was a great Thanksgiving. Okay. Next person.
Sit tight, I'm gonna need you to keep time. Come on, just shake, shake, shake your body for me. Good, good, now we'll answer some questions from Naughty Cupcake. Take a moment to see.
Okay, so I didn't actually write that instrumental. That's Panic at the Disco. And the reason I did that is you can find over half an hour of Naughty Cupcake singing Panic of the Disco covers on Backstage if you go look for it. So, questions from Naughty Cupcake. Number 73. You have one choice of any kind of cupcake flavor in the world. No matter what you choose it to be, pizza, tacos, ramen, as the flavor, it will taste fucking perfect. But you can only ever eat it once, and it's the most delicious thing ever. So you're going to remember it and wish you could have it again and cry salty, salty tears. What flavor do you pick for your miracle cupcake? Probably something spicy. Because I usually can't really handle spicy food. So it'd be pretty cool to like have something like really spicy that I could just like eat and be like, wow, that was awesome. And then like be like, wow, I can't find anything like that ever again. That'd be interesting. So maybe like a sriracha cupcake or like a kimchi cupcake. I mean, like they sound really weird, but like the question prompt was that it was going to taste perfect. So, I mean, there we go. Number 74, you have one chance to pick any Pokemon and bring it to life. Who do you pick and why? I pick Glaceon for no particular reason other than it's my favorite Pokemon because I think it's really cute. I have a huge attachment to Glaceon. It's pretty useless as a Pokemon. It's really not good. Doesn't really do anything useful, like, outside of combat either. It's just, it's so cute. He's got, like, the little ears and, like, the little, it's like he's wearing a little hat and, like, the tail's like a little rectangle. I don't know. It's my favorite Pokemon. So, forgoing any form of, like, usefulness, I would give that all up just to have a Glaceon and like hang out with it. Number 75. If you had the chance to go back in time and have a drink or dinner with any person you so choose, but that at the end you had to hit them in their family jewels with all of your strength and will be forever remembered for it, who would it be? So basically you have to go back in time, have a meal with somebody, and then hit them in the crotch really hard. Probably this one kid that I knew. Well, I'd never actually met him. I didn't ever know him. He did something really horrible to me, indirectly. And I would love to sit down and have a meal with him and just be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? What was going through your mind? Why the hell, like, why do you have to come after me like this? He didn't know me. It's a very complicated story. I really don't want to talk about it, but I would love to have a dinner with him and just be like, dude, what the fuck? And then at the end, I would just hit him really hard right in the balls, hopefully neuter him for all eternity so that he can't procreate. And then also, I would love to be remembered for it forever. And then I would live an amazing life of virtue just so people would look at me and be like, wow, he's really amazing, but he hit that guy really hard in the balls. Wow, that guy must be really awful. So everybody who meets me and knows that will know that that guy is like this. He's just a scumbag, man. Ugh. Number 76. Are these questions too weird? No, I don't think so. They were good questions. Thanks for asking. Yeah. Next user.
Ooh.
Your laughter's always cute and sweet. When you're away, we're not complete. Always down to have some fun. Jazzy J1801.
All right, Jazzy J1801 wants to know. I tried to make your song jazzy, but like it ended up just kind of sounding a little sad. I wish I'd like written you something happier, but anyways, number 77. Say you were hosting a dinner party and you decided to invite at least 6 GWA. Oh, it says at least. Oh, I thought it said at most. Okay, well, I'm going to limit myself to 6. 6 GWA buddies. Who would you invite to the party? Why that exact person? And what food or drinks would they bring? Jazzy, you can bring some kind of like fun or colorful dessert. I feel like that would reflect you. Alice can bring noodles. JoJo's bringing that pigeon that keeps like flying through her window. She's going to bring that and we're going to eat it. We're going to kill it and cook it and eat it. We'll bring Korra to the dinner. Korra, I looked up cuisine in the Avatar series, and there's some things that sound really good that I would love Korra to bring. I'd really like to try lobster crab. Also, Komodo rhino sausage sounds really good. It sounds really horrible, but like, if you put sky bison in front of me, I would probably eat it. Suits. I would invite Suits to the dinner. Suits can bring a bull penis and we can share that. And Brunstud, of course, is coming to the dinner party. And the food that he can bring salt. Number 78. Oh no. You've been stranded on a tropical island from unknown events. On the island there is food and water provided for you. Tell me, what 3 things would you bring with you and why? Free internet cookies if you want to bring a person instead of an item. And the first 3 things that came to mind were JoJo, a strap-on harness, and a dildo. So that she can peg me on the island. Number 79. Congratulations. You've just gotten the next 2 days off for reasons I can't think of at the moment. Winky face. Describe to us the perfect day off for you if nothing goes wrong for you. If nothing went wrong for me and I had 2 days off, nothing is going wrong in these 2 days. I could get like 5 or 6 audios recorded. I dream of just having 2 random days to just like do like not like knowing that my like apartment will be empty like the entire day and knowing that I can just like sit there and like do recordings. That would put my like having, because the end result of that is me having 5 or 6 more recordings in my pocket just like ready to post. That would put me so mentally at ease. Like the outcome of that vacation is like better than the vacation itself for me. And then I would sleep a lot, probably. Number 80. Sexy question time. Oh my. Your SO has decided to come visit you, and you're allowed to do anything you want with them. And I do mean anything. The only catch is that you have 1 day and the whole night to spend with them. Then they shall be magically transported back home. What would you guys decide to do? What places would you go? And what kind of sexy and kinky shenanigans would you both get into before time runs out? There's like a nice Italian restaurant that we could go to. It's like within walking distance. Probably bring her there. And then, excuse me. I've been talking for almost 2 hours now. Let's get some water. I have a Star Wars mug. It's great. The other thing that's within walking distance of my apartment is a sex store. So we'd probably go there, and I'd probably spend a whole lot of money on a bunch of stuff that we could use, and it would be totally worth it, and then we could come back to my place and have sexy time. Yeah. Okay. Next up, we have...
Banana, 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 banana.
You're so tasty, make me crazy, make me bonkers with your conkers, banana.
Banana, banana.
Cuckoo Bananas would like to know, are you a dog person or cat person, and why? I am a dog person. I am allergic to cats, and also I lived with a cat for a while. It was my two friends' cats, the two that are married, and cat is pretty mean. It's like it won't scratch you. She's just kind of like a capricious little prankster. Not even a prankster. She always has this look on her face. She looks at you, and you could just tell that she's judging you. And I'm like, don't you judge me, cat. And then, like, sometimes you'll, like, you really need a poop, but, like, the cat will just be in the bathroom pooping, and it'll just be you and the cat, and just the cat's just, like, looking at you, like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm trying to poop. Like, I'm sorry. I'm not going to, like, kick you out, but, like, I got to do what I got to do, and I'm not going to wait, like, for you to finish, because God knows how long you're going to be in here. So I'm a dog person. Dogs are great. Number 82, cake or pie, and what kind? Pie. I already talked about this. I don't like the really sweet, like, berry pies. So, like, blueberry pie, like, cherry pie, not as much my thing. I like the stuff like apple pie, pumpkin pie, like, key lime pie. So good. Cake has some really good stuff on their side, right? I guess technically cheesecake is cake. Ice cream cake, although I guess ice cream pie doesn't really count. Tiramisu is actually a cake that I really enjoy. But two words, meat pies. Meat pies are so good. Pot pies, the pies I was talking about from the bakery. I love meat pies. Meat pies are awesome. Also, like, just bumped my microphone. You also get, like, those little egg tart things. I think I would lump those in with pie. Those are really good. I'm a pie guy. I really like, I think pie, like, has more filling. And then, like, I also really like pie crust. And then, like, cake, I feel like, doesn't really have, like, this, it's like, mostly just, like, fluff. And then, like, a little bit of, like, icing or whatever, like, on the inside. I'm not really, like, an icing guy. It's, like, more about, like, the cake itself, where pie is, like, you get, like, stuff in it. So I like pie. Number 83. If you could move to any city, where would you go? Economy, work, or money is not an issue. I would move to Akihabara in Tokyo, Japan, because it is the anime geek capital of the world. I've made a pilgrimage there before, and it was amazing. I had so much fun, and it'd be pretty cool to live there and, like, not have to, like, worry about work. I could just, like, go experience, like, the weird, crazy, zany things that are in that section of Tokyo. Number 84, exactly how many tentacles does Tentacle Monster Utopia have? So when I recorded the tentacle scripts, I kind of imagined myself as Shuma Gorath from the Marvel Universe. I don't think people really know who Shuma Gorath is generally. Maybe one day in Doctor Strange we'll find out, not in the upcoming movie, but maybe one day. He's kind of like a what's the word I'm looking for? Lovecraftian, like, beast within the Marvel Universe. He's basically like Marvel Cthulhu, and I looked at I know him from the Marvel vs. Capcom series, which again was a really big influence on me getting into comics, but I googled a picture of Shuma Gorath, and in that picture, he had 7 tentacles, so I will say that Tentacle Monster Utopia has 7 tentacles. Alright, next user.
A rose by any other name just wouldn't appear to be quite the same. Giving those O's through her audios, a rose is a rose's recycled rose.
All right, Recycled Rose, I have a question for you. How does it feel to know that you asked the singular best question out of this entire AMA? Out of 203 questions, this is the best question. Recycled Rose says, I don't really have a question for you, more a challenge. You see, ever since I heard it, I wanted more. I need more. I want you to get your kazoo out again, and if possible, recreate a kazoo wooing a lady kazoo. I suppose you could say, it's a giggle I yearn to be tickled out of me. Yeah, let it never be said that I do not deliver. Next season.
Lollipop, lollipop, ooh, zombie, lolly, zombie, lollipop, lollipop, ooh, fondly numb and zombie, lollipop, lollipop, ooh, zombie, lolly, zombie, lollipop.
Okay, Zombie Lollipop wants to know, when did you first start recording things and what got you into it? Did you start NSFW or Less Lewd? Well, I started GWA at the end of October this year. I guess I started recording, it was like music stuff. It was like acapella stuff. I did like a, some people might know, apparently a bunch of people, there's like a hidden recording on my Soundgasm that I've kind of just forgot about. I didn't really mean to leave it public, but I did. And then like, it's got like 200 something listens. I did like an acapella cover of the Sword Art Online season 2 opening. And so I started kind of like with acapella stuff because, it was just like a fun thing. And my mom actually got me my first microphone. It was the Samson G-Track. And that's kind of where I got started with recording. I used Audacity back then, before fooling around with like a whole bunch of different software that I hated until I find it, until I found Reaper. But yeah, so the kind of stuff like that is like what I started out with. So that's like a cool little thing. Go check it out. For the record, I do not think that Sword Art Online is a very good show. I recently wrote a single-spaced 6-page essay by accident as a response to like a backstage post about Sword Art Online, and I was like, I don't actually think Sword Art Online is good, here's why. And it like broke the Reddit like character limit. I have a lot of feelings about Sword Art Online, but I liked the song, so I did a cover of it. So yeah, there's my secret Soundgasm recording. There's your reward for listening an hour into this freaking part of my AMA. Like, if you've started with part one, you've been here for 2 hours. Good lord. Go you. Anyways, but yeah, I still record acapella stuff for fun, for backstage. I haven't done it in a while, but every like holiday that comes up, like my mom's birthday or Mother's Day or Christmas, I'll take like the backstage posts that I've done and I'll like compile them into like a mini little like a mini album for her for like a present. So I guess backstage you guys are kind of like the testing ground of recordings that I send my mom for her presents. Cause that's why she got me my microphone originally, cause she wanted to hear stuff like that. 87, favorite food and beverage. I've already talked about soup noodles. So I'm going to say there's this place in Boston's Chinatown called the Gourmet House of Dumplings. And they have this mapo tofu that I really like. It's really not that spicy the way I think mapo is like supposed to be. But I love the texture of the tofu, and like it's like just spicy enough for me that it's got like a little bit of bite, which means it's really not that spicy, because I don't handle spicy food very well. But I really, really like to eat that. It's really good with rice. It soaks into the rice. That's really good. My favorite beverage is probably orange juice. I really like orange juice, and I kind of had to cut myself off from it because, like, it has a pretty decent amount of sugar, and, like, I will drink, like, an entire, like, carton of orange juice if I'm not paying attention, like, in a sitting. So I don't drink orange juice, but that's probably my favorite beverage. Yeah. Number 88. Top three kinks and three things you will never try. I'm assuming this is like kinks I will never try. So my top three kinks, I guess, like, zetairoiki, which is like the slang word for, it means absolute territory. It's like a goof. It's like a stupid Japanese pun, but basically what it means is it's like a really good ratio of like thigh high stockings and then like a little bit of skin and then like a mini skirt. And like, I really like that because it, like the explanation is like, you get to see like the outline and like the shape of the legs, but like, it's still the, like has like a degree of mystery and like leaves some to the imagination. I really like that look. And then, I wrote down uniforms with skirts, so like uniforms, I guess, and then like suits on girls. I really like suits on girls. So like really clothes oriented, I think, probably. Three kinks I will never try. I'm gonna say sounding, because that sounds like it would not be something that I would enjoy personally. Cheating or like being a cuck is something I like absolutely cannot see myself ever doing. What would a third one be? Let's go with like orgy stuff. I don't think I could handle that. I'm not like a, I don't deal very well in like large social environments. So like, I don't think I would deal very well in an orgy situation. So next user.
She's got an opera voice that we can all admire, always singing high. Everyone who's heard can testify, and I shouldn't have to remind you she's Canada's pride. Can't outshine her no matter how hard you might try. You know you can't deny her singing so damn fine. She'll have you mystified hearing from the singing siren.
The singing siren wants to know, what is your favorite Hamilton song, and would you consider doing it for backstage?
I can't just, like, pick one Hamilton song. Come on, Siren.
It's probably Satisfied still. The first time I heard that song, it hit me right in the feels, because I've, like, been in that situation, and, like, oh, jeez. Like, same thing, like, with the, and, like, the cheating, like, man. That song, it just hit me right in the gut. Like, I got shivers, and, like, I started to, like, tear up a little bit. Like, the first, like, five or six times, I, like, felt, like, tears within me, like, starting to well up. And, like, that song just, it's like a punch to the gut. Ugh! But, so I don't think I'd ever end up singing Satisfied. I don't think I'm super suited to it. I would really like to do, like, a cover of You'll Be Back, because that song is fucking awesome. I also really like Wait For It. I did not like Wait For It the first time I heard it. I was like, I don't like this at all. And then the second time I heard it, I was like, this is so good. Oh my God. As a side note, specifically my favorite line in the entire Hamilton musical is kind of a weird one. It's in Take a Break, where Angelica shows up from London and Eliza's there, and they see each other for the first time, and they're like, Angelica, Eliza, and they're like so happy to see each other. And like Hamilton, you hear him just go, the Schuyler sisters. And like, the first time I heard that line, I like got it immediately when he says the Schuyler sisters, because he says it kind of blankly, and that really stuck out to me, because there's so much emotion and like drive to Hamilton's character, and hearing him so like meekly, like flatly say something like that, when especially after hearing like how absolutely elated Angelica is to see Eliza in that scene. Hearing how flat Hamilton sounds, it hit me really hard because I like immediately understood like the feeling behind that sort of blankness, because of like when you see somebody, they're like, that's such a complicated scene for him, because he's got a lot going on in his mind with like getting his plan through Congress, and then like he's married to Eliza, like he has a thing for Angelica clearly, and like just seeing like these two people who mean so much to him in one place, and like he knows that like he can't like be with like the people, like people, you know, like there's so many feelings just like running through his head, and like there's so much, there's just like this feeling of like defeat in the way he says, in the way he sings the Skylar sisters in that line, and like just like that really stuck out to me, and I really like that. So that's my favorite line in Hamilton, which is a really weird one to have be your favorite line, I think, but that's why. I've rambled enough about Hamilton for now. But number 90, if you could pick up any instrument you don't currently play and be able to play it right away, which one and why? I think I would pick the harmonica, just because I would be able to play it and then like also do stuff with my hands. No, not dirty stuff. I meant like play the piano, like play other instruments. Although now that you mention it, it would be really interesting to do like an audio where you're like playing the harmonica and then like also maybe one day. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see about that one. Number 91, dream role in a musical / play / movie. Okay. So this is actually a question that Galanthea brought up, and I kind of skipped over it because it was like, if you don't want to talk about blah, 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 then talk about this. But, so the answer I had for that was the two roles were, Sweeney from Sweeney Todd, because that musical is cool, and it has like a lot of weird personal value to me that I'm probably not going to get into here, because I already ranted about how that line in Hamilton for like 5 minutes. And then the other one was Moritz Stiefel in Spring Awakening, solely for the fact that he sings Don't Do Sadness, which is like my favorite song on Broadway probably. But the answer that I wrote down for you was, because I was supposed to talk about those things in the first question, but I have like a really weird soft spot for the American Idiot musical, and probably just because I like followed John Gallagher Jr. a lot, not a lot, but like I follow him around on like Broadway, and I'm like, wow, this is the same guy. He sounds really good. So like probably his part in that musical. 92. Favorite song right now? I actually don't spend a whole lot of time listening to music anymore, because I spend all my time listening to audios. But this is probably the only place in this questionnaire where I can geek out about Sound Horizon. So let's talk about Sound Horizon real quick. I'll try to make it quick. No promises. But they're a band that almost exclusively does like concept albums in Japanese. They almost always tell like really cool stories through their albums, and so like you kind of, it's something like you get more out of it if you're sitting down and like reading the lyrics as you're listening to the song. And like there's this one of their latest albums is called Märchen, which is the word for fairy tale, I think, and in it basically the main character is like a spirit of revenge, and he goes into like all these fairy tales like Snow White and like Sleeping Beauty, where like the princess will like be wronged in some way, and he'll like offer them like some form of revenge, and he's the one who like sent the prince to like bring back Snow White, and like they kill the queen or like just stuff like that, and it's like really, really, really cool stuff. He's probably like the musician, like composing wise, that I have like the highest, most respect for. Like this guy is a compositional genius. He's really, really good. Really cool rock stuff. Marty Friedman from whatever the what's the band? Jeez, I'm flaking out right now. Well, Marty Friedman is part of that group. I don't know if he still is, but he definitely was for a while. Man, what band? God, it's on the tip of my tongue. That's not too important. Basically, the opening song to the Märchen album is so dynamic. Like, there's so much jam packed into that song. That's probably like one of my favorite songs, if not my favorite song ever. Just because it's like the Japanese revenge fairy tale version of like Bohemian Rhapsody, is the only way I can think of describing it. The next user, I don't per se have an intro song for him specifically, because the song that I have for you is the answer to your question, and I think you will know who you are, and everyone else I will explain afterwards, but here we go.
I got my pocket full of booty. I got my king and I know that he's a cutie, yo. Whoa. Hanging out online with a TeamSpeak Elite crew. We can be good friends cause I know that you're a weeb too. Oh, whoa.
You can't surpass
the king of ass.
You better spring
for the ass king.
That backside man.
The king of ass.
I'm here to sing
for the ass king.
Okay, so that was the song for the ass king, whose question was, so can you sing Pocket Full of Sunshine for me? I got you, baby. All right, next we have
a brand new writer in the mix.
Throwaway girl 856 wants to know, how many props do you use for the average clip? Honestly, not too many. Not a lot of audios I do lately, like, require props. I think I used a lot more props, like, early on, because I felt like I needed, it was, like, my gimmick, I guess, that I, like, where I was, like, desperate to stand out, so I did a lot of stuff involving, like, chains and stuff. Honestly, chains are a huge pain in the ass for me to deal with. I have like a really small chain and I don't really get a lot of mileage, like sound wise, out of it. Probably like the most notable sounds that I make are like in rape audios where I'm like fighting and like throwing you around and stuff. And like, it sounds like I'm throwing tables and stuff. Really? I've got like two cans of like pencils, like pens and stuff. And then like a can of air freshener. There's like a can of like bug spray. Just like random like household objects on my desk that like don't make. Oh, vitamins. Vitamins make really great noises. It, like bottles of vitamins. You just like brush that stuff off your desk and it rattles and clatters. So yeah, stuff like that probably. Other than that, really not too much. My bed, I guess, is a great prop. So yeah. All right, up next.
Self-sessed robots, a contraption built to fuck you. I think you've got some solid taste in waifu. Awesome hentai quotes and a gif of mild sheep. TeamSpeak pictures of Super Senpai Wild Sleep.
Okay, Wild Sleep wants to know. Oh, by the way, that was not an instrumental that I wrote or performed. That was the Evangelion opening. Wildsleep says, you've done a bunch of M4M audios now. Do you think your sexuality has changed or perhaps been clarified at all by exploring that? Is it just 100% fantasy, or is there something there that you might try in real life under the right circumstances? Not really. I think there's a pretty definite line between like what I do in audios and like what I do in real life. I don't think I'd end up doing like M4M stuff in real life. It's really more just like a fantasy end thing. Like, again, I talked about I like cocks, I guess, but I don't really like guys. It's like a thing. Yeah. 96. If all memory of Saber was erased from human consciousness, would you have a different waifu? No waifu? Or become a VN author and invent your waifu? Waifus transcend reality. No. But to answer your question, this is like the third time I've brought up Razaphon, because this is probably like the only time I'm going to get to talk about it this much to people who are like forced to listen to me, but probably Reika from Razaphon. If I had known what waifus were before I had discovered Saber, Reika would be my waifu. Alas, she's not. I have a little bit of regret, but she's a tough waifu to have. There's like little to no like merchandise of her. So, definitely her voice, definitely my hands down my single most favorite character voice in all of anime is Reika's voice. 97. Does it hurt trying to think down to the level of us imperfect humans? I'm incredibly vain, and it goes to my head. 98. How much do you hate that damn song now? Again, I'm incredibly vain, and it goes to my head. 99. Favorite scene from something that otherwise is just kind of meh, or even outright bad. Scenes from a dub where there is no dialogue don't count. Recently, Suicide Squad, I didn't think was the worst thing in the world, but it really didn't do what I wanted it to do. I was really disappointed with Suicide Squad on a whole as the movie. But there were definitely parts of it that I felt like worked really well. Specifically, probably my favorite scene in the movie was the Deadshot scene where they're fighting a bunch of zombie creature things, and like they're all like all these guys, like all these policemen, like army dudes are like shooting their guns and like trying to stop this massive like rampage of like these like creepy monster dudes, and Will Smith's character Deadshot, his thing is he's like the best like marksman like ever, and he just like gets up on this guy, he like runs out in front of all of them, and there's this awesome montage of just him just like shooting all of them, like direct hits every single shot, and like all the guys behind him, like all these like big army dudes, are like just watching this dude, and like they just like their mouths just kind of like fall open, and like they just gradually all stop shooting like out of like all of this guy, and they're just like watching him like single-handedly just stop like an army, and like that was probably my favorite scene in the movie. I loved that because it did so much showing and like no telling. Like they didn't like tell us information, they just showed it to us, and that's like what like good storytelling is. Like they display for you like what is special about the characters, or like they display for you like what's developing and what's going on, and that scene, there was just no words, all showing, and it was like it said so much, and I really liked it. This is the end of part two of my AMA. I'm gonna go record part three now.